I'm just looking. We got incredible number of messages coming in.
Catch them up so it doesn't get messed up. Start knocking them out. We'll do a little rapid fire.
Well, the first message is, Carolyn, this is James again writing me letters. Here's James. He sends his letter. It goes, "Hello, Senator Martinez, or Martinez. During your show today, I would appreciate you mentioning to that spiritually constipated Bob that the revelation revealed, or meaning revealed, but he's got reveled, that revelation reveled by Ion is word truth. It must be shared."
Mm-hmm.
So, James, you pissed at me again? Like, what's your problem? You think I'm spiritually constipated?
Just a little impacted, Bob.
Get some psyllium out for you.
You see what James does. He fakes his whole email from some guy named Greg Sanders. He makes up his email address and claims that he's writing James. James is sending me this crap. He even makes up names. He rips off former songs. Sorry for being so blunt, Judas the Muffin Man.
With a side of Beefheart.
So Beefheart does sing in that song. So I appreciate your levels of deception, James, but do you care to address this issue? Like, what is your problem?
No problem. He's just trying to tell you that that's the new word and that's the old word, and we're kicking it old school, and it's, they find it important to kick it old school because new school ain't working for them so good.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Revelation reveled by Ion is word truth that must be shared, assuming that's grammatically what they want. Ion always says that truth is relative, so I don't think we get truth from Ion.
It's not about truth, Bob. It's about a truism. They don't confuse a truism. They're trying to attach it because what they've been told so long is that you're a Christian or you're a sinner, you better behave or God's going to come smote you in your bed. Well, if you read what the words actually say, we'll use their words. We didn't add any words. We used their words and brought it into a context and a light that allowed the human creators to bring themselves into their very own power and use that from somebody, John the Revelator of Patmos, hiding out because they're fixing to come chop his head off if they ever found out why he got crossways with what authority anyway. And so his manuscript was written in not authority but with power, and that's the point that everyone's trying to embrace. And this particular work cleans that up so you can have a new fresh reference to gauge your place of knowing, which is what a belief system is based upon. Belief system is not about true or false. It's about what you think. And what you think, then you make that into a belief, then you know. Well, once this is known, it doesn't matter if it's the truth or a lie. It's known. Well, once it's known and you can use that knowing to triangulate a position regarding something that's dogma or something that's been crammed down your throat all along to basically discuss the obvious, then what happens is, Bob, just as Marshall said, that's how you get it worked out. That's how you expose it.
Okay.
Bring it out in the open, and then you can get it cleaned up.
Can you summarize what Ion just said, Carol?
No.
Okay. You're talking about the actual content of what we have on Information Farm. Is it us doing the first chapter or first verses of Book One? It's probably the greatest thing Ion's ever explained or translated.
Okay.
But the way this person, James, way James writes his point, he says that revelation revealed by Ion is word truth that must be shared. I was asking, you wouldn't use the word truth. Then you went into truth, not truth, it's knowing, right?
Belief, yes. There's a difference. You can know something that's not true. Truth is subjective.
And you can know something that's not true, and that's a capital N-O-W knowing?
No. Well, see, what he's trying to make the point is that what everybody thought John the Revelator was trying to say, because they told you what John was trying to say, isn't what John was trying to say. Now, that's a different truth than what you call Judeo-Christians embrace. It's still true, but it's a different truth. See, it's a further dynamic.
So you agree with what James wrote here. Is word truth, truth capitalized, that must be shared? That's an acceptable use of the word truth.
Okay,
acceptable use of it.
Yeah. It's fine.
Even though what you said, Carol, couldn't translate.
And what's new about that?
Is that because Carol knows and doesn't have to worry about what you're saying?
That's correct, pretty much. She gets it, and if she doesn't, she'll stop the presses and get the big picture. And then she doesn't even have to worry after that because you'll squeeze the lemon and get it straight and sweet in the camera. So when Bob gets it, everybody's got it. So it's all good. And then the fatted merry-go-round goes round and round.
Now, that's true.
That's true. Okay.
But you don't like to talk about the word, use the word truth, do you?
Well, because it's like God. People don't know what it is. So you say God and everybody thinks something. Well, that's not what God is. Then you got to spend a great deal of energy, of non-physical energy, convincing folks that they are God. Well, if you got to go through all that, you got to reinvent something. When the way it always was, you got to bring them back into their place of where they're being, of their place of power. The better question would be, what were they, quote, thinking when they decided to magically imbue all their human God power into a box called the Ark of the Covenant in the first place? Who said, what Senate subcommittee said that was going to be a fine idea?
I just realized I'm in trouble. I forgot to close the windows so the neighbors hear all this stuff that we're spewing.
And that's the truth.
That's the truth.
Which version of that truth is it? They might be engaging it. You never know.
Well, let's look at the dictionary definition of truth. It says fidelity, constancy, sincerity in action, character, and utterance. And then it talks about the property of being in accord with fact or reality.
Well, exactly. Accordance with reality. Now, fact, you're on your own with that myth.
Mm-hmm.
But your reality changes.
Uh-huh.
You can have a negative reality that turns sweet in a second. Right.
You made the point that you can know something, but it can be not true, what you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There's lots of things people accept as truth that's not true. But that's not our job to straighten that up.
Yeah, that's the realm of authority.
Oh,
you like that connection.
Right, we like that. That's it. Now, we're being very neglectful to Marshall. So let's bring it right back there. So everybody, Bob didn't do this. We did this. That's why Marshall McLuhan was very powerful, because he would never accept any level or credulity or incredulity, if you want to call it that way, of authority. He just told you what he was telling you. And then he's like, he never got beyond that. And so in his perfect place of power, he was untouchable.
Which brings up the first note is from Marshall. Location, World 22222. James, you want to read what Marshall writes in at 1109?
Yeah, he goes, good day, Ion. My being is reeling from the insights gained by your revelation of the good book. Maybe books can be good.
Good. At the end of the day, everybody listen, now get this. You don't get anything else. There's lots more good stuff coming. Rob will promise you that. But so far, the trick you need to come to, or that you need to engage or even consider, is this variegation between the posthumous position of power and the pathetic position of authority. Because, see, authority, all that does is get you shot. The last Jesus spoke with all authority, and look how it worked out for him.
Third Jesus, not so good. First Jesus, good.
Spot on. He could tear up the money changers in the temple. Now, that'd be like going in and tearing up Bank of America. They wouldn't appreciate that. But the first Jesus walked in there, tore it up, throwed them out, and said, you bunch of terror-kicking devils, I'll smote you right here. And they said, now, Jesus, be a good little boy. Calm down. Don't get so tore up. Meanwhile, the shekels were rolling down the steps. It was anarchy. But let him get crossways with the Sanhedrin, with the real authority, and the next thing you know, they drag him up to Pilate. And say, Pilate, do him in. And Pilate nervously washed his hands from the blood that just wouldn't go away. Because he's like, well, you don't care. You know, it's your place.
That's the third Jesus you're talking about. You were celebrating the first Jesus, and you shifted into this
third Jesus. Parallel between the first and the third, yes.
Well, one point here, this Marshall located in World 2222 did make a joke. The common image of McLuhan was that he was exposing books, didn't like books, didn't read books, they didn't know he was a professor and taught English every day. But the meme, the general authoritative meme about McLuhan is that he was anti-books. So that's why Marshall is saying, just so everybody gets the jokes, I don't think anybody got it, he goes, maybe books can be good.
And then, of course, Marshall would say, books are no good, so don't read mine.
He did. He was tempted to say that a few times.
Yes. Right. It's glorious. It's glorious. And if his books can get human creators into their place of power, we'd say cram them down your throat hole. Roll them up and let them slide down. Ingest them all. Take it all, baby. Take it all. If that'll do it. But if it's not required, that's okay. Start noticing the difference. Coming into your place of power brings you into a place where you no longer have to worry or have fear regarding authority.
Well, this book of Revelation that we evoked from Ion seems to have done that for people. You want to read Bathsheba's, James?
Bathsheba, her location is currently in the bathtub without adornment. Greetings, Ion. I am pleased and appreciate your glad giving off of the meaning of the book of Revelation. I'm also interested in hearing the remaining chapters, but am currently short of funds. Actually, that miser, David, is withholding my allowance, and he has in parentheses, or would you say, quote, allowing, and Uriah did not leave me any booty, although I certainly gave him plenty. Would you consider barter?
So maybe there's a symbolic Uriah heap. Uriah, maybe it's the government, and they had to pay a lot of taxes. Could that mean that? And I'm not sure who David Rockefeller, I guess, that miser David Rockefeller is withholding my allowance. So maybe these are metaphorical, or they're actual people in Bathsheba's life. But assuming Bathsheba's metaphorical, it's all metaphor there. Oh, that's David. Oh, yeah, David in the Bible, right? Remember?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bathsheba, honey, you didn't have no trouble getting busy with King David, so you know, hey, there's a difference between power and authority.
Right, you had no problem. What? Barter, no, getting cat. Well, they didn't get paid. David ripped her off.
Her husband put him on the front lines so he could be killed, and then they had trouble with the baby business because it was...
So Uriah was her husband?
It's not pronounced that way, but yes, that's the reference that they're making.
You know, I've only done the book of Revelation with Ion. I don't mean much about the
You've only
Bible.
Done the first chapter or so of the book of Revelation, Bob.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm just saying I didn't get these metaphors in the Bathsheba poetry here because I'm not familiar too much with the Bible.
It's all right. We are. It's no problem.
But after thinking about it, I did remember David and Bathsheba. It did come back. It is implanted in me, some of this stuff.
And well, you did that back after the books of Moses, Bob, don't you recall?
That's right.
And Hosea and Job and Manasseh. Don't you forget Manasseh.
Joshua.
King Joshua.
Hosea.
Hosea. And then you got all the Gospels.
Chronicles and Kings and Judges.
Kings, verses, second Kings,
Leviticus,
verse, second
and
Chronicles.
Something begins with D.
Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy, right.
Oh, stop it.
Yeah, that's the beginning one. But now, see, now there's a lot more in Deuteronomy, but human creators can't get that. Is that this one beget, 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 this one. But see, that talks about lineage. And lineage is what humans spend a great deal of attention regarding, but when they start going through the family tree after the second generation, they're bored with it.
I think these first three emails are from the same person, because the third one's metaphorical. It gives Leopold Bloom's address, we talked about last week, the book Ulysses, 7 Echo Street. A. James writes in, "Hello there, Ion. We absolutely love your simple unraveling of the gobbledygook of the Book of Revelation. Now all may truly wake."
Mm-hmm.
Fitting his wake reference. And then they say, or James says, "May I suggest the Book of Kells next? We love the spirals."
Mm-hmm.
Could you do the Book of Kells?
Sure.
Give us an example of a sentence or two, because it's pretty medieval, pretty decorative.
Oh, it ain't no such a thing, Bob. It's simple. It gives the Elizabethan twist on the flow of energy at hand.
In other words, it's an appropriate way to use the manuscript before the printing press makes it so linear.
You wouldn't have to go much further. You could go all the way to Chaucer and figure out what the woman from Bath was, and then you win the door prize of the day.
Okay, so you want to give us a hint who she was? Was she someone of significance?
No, they're just, Canterbury Tales, different people that had different jobs, and then we'd ask you to figure out, that's your riddle, is what was her profession? The woman from Bath, to dance the dance of fatal dances, to dance the chance of fatal chances.
Was she an abortionist?
Well, you're giving it away, Bob.
Look, that's old school. That's old stuff. We're talking about the new mystery landscape.
So is Revelation.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that it's the parallel world that you're coming through, Ion, leaking us into.
It's the parallel world we're dragging y'all kicking and screaming toward.
And that parallel world is inside, it's near the inner kingdom, and that's why there's actually a massage going on, not just a verbal exchange.
So now you're waiting on the massager to return?
You are the massager.
No, sorry, that was the Messiah.
Oh, yeah. you are the second coming, but you're a massager.
Oh, great. Everybody, just so you know, Bob just accused nonsense of participating in sloppy second.
What do you keep talking about? Don't spurn the sperm. Whoever imagined it when Jesus would come back, we didn't know there was three of them, but one of them would come back, and then we'd be this joking moron named Ion who's just throwing out locker room humor all the time. I mean, that's pretty good, Ion.
Yes, and the human God said in amazement, cried, and they'd hoped for so much.
Okay, so James' response ends with saying, as we there are, where are we there from Tom to
Tom?
Yeah, to T to Tom totalitarian. T to ooh. I think they're quoting parts of Phineas Wake there.
And then Ibbly Bibbly Squibbly Bob. Yes, that's right.
Hey, James, I think it's all say person. Then who writes in? Jerry Falwell. His location looking for a city.
Yes.
Well,
Heritage, USA.
So, James, you want to read him?
Yeah, looking for a city, says Message Ion. I'm delighted by your propensity to clearly explain the wordy words of the Prince of Prophets. No more prophets of doom. And I applaud your decision to profit from the prophets. God knows I have.
Yeah.
Well done.
And was Jerry Falwell a character who was presenting authority?
Oh, yes. He took down the PTL, Praise the Lord, program. Remember Jim Emmy Faye Baker?
Well, PTL was Pat Robertson.
No. That's the 700 Club, Bob.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay.
We're straightened out now.
Yeah, I think you're right.
He's the one that wants to kill all the homosexuals and kill the Jews and any earthquake that goes along. See, I told you my God would smote you.
So Jerry Falwell took down Jim Baker.
He put a bunch of money in Heritage USA, and then they got to fighting over authority rather than
water slides. He put all the water slides in.
Water slides.
Ping pong tables and pornos and everything.
This is Jerry Falwell did that.
Jim Baker did.
Jerry Falwell put all this stuff in Jim's place.
Well, he gave the money to keep it propped up.
And so he got suckered. He went down with Jim?
No, he's what caused Jim to go down.
By putting slides in. How does that make Jim go down?
Oh, he put the money up. It was supposed to be just a place for people to go and have a good, clean, fun place to play. Well, there you go at Liberty, and where they make whiskey, Jack Daniels in Virginia, where they make Jack Daniels, that's where his church was. He was Baptist.
This is Falwell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he put a bunch of money into Heritage USA. Well, then he started wanting to control what money he put in to the, quote, ministry. And then that came into all this aversion that this money was being frivolously squirreled away.
Okay, so you're saying that Jerry Falwell complained about what Jim was doing with the money Jerry gave?
Right.
And so Jerry brought Jim down? Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much, yep.
So Jerry survived this situation?
Well, not so much.
All right, there's many more metaphorical emails coming in, which is great. I don't mind if it's made up or virtual. What is interesting, James, is the next letter. I want to read this one because somehow they know something. The next one is from Moses, location the Gulf. Actually, Ion, Moses never got to the Gulf, did he?
Right.
All that work he did, he didn't even get to the Gulf. He just judged himself right back into limbo. So we know this is a fake Moses. He said location the Gulf wrong. Only we know this stuff, James. See, we can tell you where anybody did. We're the chartered accountants, the bookkeepers of the astral records. So
I know that.
Actuaries.
So Moses, not from the Gulf, says, hey, Ion, I agree that any further discussion of the Bible should only be available if the cash flows to the tune of $100. I further suggest that discussion of the revelations of Herbert Marshall McLuhan and James Joyce also be limited only to those who pony up the Benjamins. Now, what the heck is that? Oh, that's right. I do. That is on the tape, isn't it? My whole argument with Ed about that or something.
That's right. You can't cut out those ladies of ill repute because the high school girls are giving it away for free.
And that, yeah, I'll try to stem that flow because after about two-thirds of the thing, I was realizing, man, this stuff is so good. I think we better charge for this, right?
No.
I forgot that was discussed on the tape. It wasn't edited. Two-thirds of the way through, I realized how great this stuff is. They said, we're not doing any more of these chapters. We're charging for them.
No, I started listening to the stuff on the Bible.
This is killing us. We're not doing this anymore. This is crazy.
Madonna, I contradict myself, and you got a problem with that?
Well, one time I thought I was wrong, and then I realized that was the only mistake.
I may be wrong, but I'm never in doubt.
All right.
Okay, James, you can read the one at 11:11.
All right. Jehovah, that's the name, location New Jerusalem. Yeah. Greetings, Ion and Bob. I'm eternally grateful to Bob for allowing his servant Ion to bring forth the meaning I intended when I set forth my angel with the revelation, keep it up. More mana from the mouth of Ion. No need to pardon the pun.
Very good. Okay. So that Jehovah said someone finally read my works correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Where is Jehovah? Is he in the Gulf?
You mean Yahweh?
Yeah, Yahweh, yes.
No, he's walking around. He's just a slob like one of us.
He works at McDonald's.
Trying to make his way back home.
Yeah, he's quoting Joan Osborne, right?
Did I get the song. Right? Yeah, that's the song. Uh-huh.
Nice response there, Ion. Not bad. I'm aesthetically appreciative of that, what you just did there.
Yeah, just don't put Gaga in Jerry Seinfeld's box, or somebody will have hell to pay.
Okay, James, you can read them for a while.
Okay, all right. Name is Solomon. His location is looking for a temple. A message is, great revelation, Ion, and they say that I am wise. I am dim in your light. That's from Solomon.
It looks like Ion's got a hit with this Bible stuff.
I listened to not the entire stuff that you did on the Bible, but Ion did on the Bible, but as soon as I started listening to that, this, I said, this is going to hit a nerve in a major, gigantic way, and it's just going to go on and on and on. I had no interest in the Bible at all until I started listening to his editorial commentary on it.
Jesus is the technical word.
It offends everybody and fascinates them at the same time.
And he actually figures out what the capital He's and the small H-He's, which is, to me, very interesting that it's imitating the Emerald Tablets. All these religions come from the Emerald Tablets. That's what's interesting to me.
What's the Samaritan?
Oh, Samaritan is where they were written?
Well,
that's interesting. That was an early place, early human location.
Yes.
Sheila from Paris, presently everywhere else now, she sent me a private email. She says, I have had three strong synchronicities with the word covenant. The last one being listening to the analysis of the Ark of the Covenant section on informationfarm.blogspot.com we did before the Book of Revelations. We did Graham Hancock and the Ark of the Covenant. So she had three strong synchronicity. According to Merriam-Webster, the dictionary, the definition of covenant is function, a noun, etymology, Middle English from Anglo-French, from present participle of convenir, to be fitting, from Latin convenir, No, Reeve, discomfort near. Date, 14th century. One, first meaning, a usually formal, solemn, and binding agreement. And then the word compact. 2A, a written agreement or promise usually under seal between two or more parties, especially for the performance of some action. The second part of the second meaning, the B part, the common law action to recover damages for breach of such a contract. Question, is what she'll ask. Can you bring further light to the meaning of the word covenant?
Covenant. They had to make a contract when they convinced the human gods to separate themselves from their power to put it in a box. The covenant. That's the covenant. That's the covenant that the books of Moses speak of. The covenant between God. That's where the guy crossed up. That's where Hosea had his conversation with the first time in the scriptures that Hosea makes a pact. His wife was a harlot, Gomer. And Hosea said, that whore, I ain't whore of Babylon. I ain't having her. She's everywhere. I ain't having her. Well, this is where they make the point because they've already had the separation where God makes a deal with Hosea. And what the deal is, God says, Hosea, if you'll take Gomer back, then I'll take that whore Israel back as my people, as my bride. This is the point of the covenant. The original covenant was about, if you separate your power, it will be held steadfast here until you bring it back to you.
If you separate your power, that's under conditions of the effect of the ark.
Well, that's the covenant, you see. That's the Ark
of the Covenant.
And when that Ark of the Covenant, that's what it was. It was the holder of the covenant, the holder, the piece of paper that was written that said, this is now the mercy seat. It's also the smoter, the smiter of smoting.
Was there a piece of paper that said, this is the mercy seat?
Yes. Well, see, and it was the holder of the Ten Commandments that were broken. See, Moses broke the Ten Commandments. He broke them. The stone tablets, he broke them. So it was the holder of the broken commandments.
The holder being the piece of paper or the person?
Oh, the holder being the Ark of the Covenant.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Ah. And within that understanding, it's that we'll put all this here in this box and we'll magically imbue it with power. And we'll hold it. The covenant was that if you'll take Gomer back, we'll take Israel back. And that's the break. That's the break. That's the point where the next story that comes along is when the veil is rent in two.
But that's the solidification of the veil, which you see as the fall of man.
Fall meaning loosely where you chose to separate.
So you would not emphasize making contracts today.
Right. If you're in your power, there's no reason to. There's no reason to make covenants any longer.
Or agreements.
Everybody's running around getting a marriage license so they'll know how to divorce. People run around, they start a business, and they got partners, and they form a corporation, and they have articles of incorporation, and they make rules and regulations, and then I will if you will. And the only reason they do that is because neither one have any intention of doing that.
What is a contract that's not written? Does it have to be written?
Can the spit in the hand.
Spit in the hand.
The word is your bond. There you go.
There's an interesting phenomena that's going on in the music industry right now that is exactly on this. And Prince actually doesn't do any contracts in the typical way, ever. It's all verbal now for concerts and stuff like that.
Would you agree with that? Is that closer to...
Absolutely. Because if you're in your power, you don't need a piece of paper to validate your power.
Yeah, we don't. We have not a written contract to show up every Wednesday. We just have a verbal. Do we even say agreement? What's a better word? A verbal.
No. And as long as James wants us on his show, we are welcome guests on his show. And as long as he wants us and we want to, we show up and have a delicious, wonderful, fine old time.
And that's determined by our verbal. Promises or...
You haven't made any promises, Bob.
What do we call what we've done?
Having fun.
We didn't even verbally say we'd show up.
That's exactly right. Bill wrings his hands every week, wondering if we're going to come about or not. PowerHits.com is so excited to see if it's going to actually come one more time. It's great. It's great. It's not a problem. Because then guess what? Nobody's feelings get hurt. Nothing ever is wrong. Nothing ever separated. If you looked at marriage the same way we have addressed Achieve Radio's rendition of Cash Flow, it go on eternally. Because then there's no preset notion of, well, you didn't do this, and you didn't do that, and your show was a little dry today, and you can't know what's coming out of that ion's mouth. How this work, and genitalia, and Carolyn and the magnesium, and Bob trying to give us a Marshall McLuhan enema, and talking about toenails, and cracked up stuff. You just didn't get that. We're not having it. Well, if you looked at it a different way, then all of a sudden you could enjoy the parts that you enjoy. And if you're cohabitating with another human creator and you do it from that place, then you're always happy to show up. Then you're always happy to engage. You enjoy eating with that person more than any other person. And it becomes great fun, knowing full well that you could go and eat with another person if you so chose to. And that'd be okay, too, but it wouldn't be necessarily what you're coming to a long-term relationship. But long-term relationships are just a whole lot of nails.
You have an agreement with somebody. The agreement is in the yes frame, whereas where you mean is where you have a contract that's in the no frame, where everybody's saying, giving instructions on what you will do and what you will not do?
No, it's the penalty phase for when you're not going to keep your word. Contracts are the penalty phase for when you're not going to do what you say.
It defines when the line has been crossed.
Exactly.
Right.
And therefore, you're in breach of your contract. So, there you go.
And look at the words, line has been crossed. They're all products of writing and literacy, the metaphors around this. Agreement is matching. McLuhan said matching was the effect of literacy, whereas making your own universe is a preferable situation and only possible under pre-literal conditions or post-literal conditions. Because when people are saying that they want to take their power, they don't want to deal with the matching authority. They want to make their own space.
They do.
Yeah.
But then they judge their space based on what authority allows, and they're screwed again.
When Jesus said, there will be those that come that are greater than me, was he pointing to the chip landscape and things like that?
No, he was not talking about the chip landscape. What Jesus was talking about was the power that you gave up is coming back. It's been here all along. But when you decide to turn it on, then you'll have this power, and these things that you've seen me do, you'll do, and greater things. All these things means all the creation, all the power is already yours. And if you'll seek you first the kingdom of God, your kingdom, your God, and your righteousness, your place of power, righteousness infers power, not correctness, righteousness. Coming into your place of righteous power, ascending power. Once you come into your power, then all these things are added unto you because you just have but to think them, and they show up in your reality every single time without further exception. And the only reason they don't is because the UPS man's bringing it, and you won't answer the doorbell.
And that includes the chip landscape as a present, a gift given to you.
Well, and it can go away just as quickly.
So Sheila N. saying, having said, can you bring further light to the meaning of that word covenant? And then she says, and how is this relating to me as it's in my universe?
Good. Covenant means it's a qualifier for you, Sheila. It's a qualifier. You use the covenant very seriously. You would not enter into a covenant with another human creator unless you knew. And if you did, you would do it very cautiously. See, when it would read something like this. Okay, here's who I am. I am what I am. Popeye the Sailor Man, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, and then you'd say, and things in my world are, and I'm noticing things in your world which are, and I like them pretty good, what I see. Now, I'd like to lick on you a little bit and see how you taste, and I'd like to play with you a little bit and see how you play, and I want it to be very clear that I'm in this a minute by minute by minute, and if that minute by minute by minute timing, then that can turn into eternity. But for no place do you think that once you slide that great big old piece of carbon on my finger that you've got me. Because I don't play that. I don't mind playing with you eternally, but that eternity is going to be one moment at a time. What is the song they sing time after time?
What you said would apply to Sheila. Is that what a lot of people think today?
Well, they don't see any benefit in the covenant of marriage because it doesn't last until you get home from the honeymoon. They spend more money on prenups than they do on their first houses.
Is it still a common feeling among kids, as it was in the 60s, 70s, the story was that the kids were upset that their parents divorced. The new kids, well, maybe their parents aren't even married, but if they are they affected by the divorce stigma as much as 40 years ago?
Don't go back that far. Go back to Virgin Mary. She didn't come from a real good household.
And that happened in our future.
Right.
Which Jesus said in greater things you will do?
Second Jesus. This is Romans.
What would be a couple other sentences that the proverbs or aphorisms that the second Jesus said?
Oh, okay. That's getting into what they call, what we call Sermon on the Mount.
Oh, the second Jesus did that?
Yes. And it's very interesting how Luke really drives home. Luke only knew the second Jesus.
These four guys, the evangelists, whatever they are, they didn't live at the same time.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Bob, were not evangelists. They were doctors. They were lawyers and or business folks. They were ones who got this information that this covenant stood in a way to come back into your place of power. So they were radicals. They were radicals.
Like the Ionic community. They're like our clients.
Yeah. Some of them, and they come into a place where they're like, well, I don't know about you, but in my world, this is what it means to me. And then they started using it, and it's very interesting.
You're talking about their writing.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They were both telling the exact same story, and every version of it was different. So how could all of them be true?
Which of the four knew the second Jesus?
All of them knew the second Jesus.
Which of the four knew the first Jesus?
None of them.
Which of the four knew the third Jesus?
Mark and Matthew.
The third and the second Jesus were like many hundred years apart, right?
Yes.
So the ones who knew the second Jesus remained alive, which is interesting, to experience the third Jesus. Now, what do you think of that, Dave? That's an amazing new development in the iconography.
This is new to me. I'm not a student of the Bible, but I am a student of this, that's for sure.
Well, did the two that recognized the second and third Jesus know that they were two different Jesuses?
Yes, and so did the Ottoman Empire.
Could you name who the two were that knew the second and third again, Matthew and Mark?
John and Matthew and Mark.
They knew the second and the third Jesus.
That's correct.
Now, you keep bringing up many times over the many hours I've talked to you, the Ottoman Empire, and often you say it in reference to events around Jesus' time or way back there where I associate the Ottoman Empire as just 500 years ago. Our record of that is off, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Otherwise, how did they get the head and the hand of John the Baptist, and they still have it on display in their temple?
Right, in Istanbul.
Yeah.
Was Pontius Pilate working for the Ottoman Empire?
Oh, Pontius Pilate? No. He was in the Carpathian pockets, Bob. This was Capernaum. What do you mean?
You mean not Rome. He wasn't an agent of Rome.
Right. It was absolutely not Rome. That was what he came to undo.
As a Carpathian.
That's exactly correct. Because otherwise the best they were going to get was a Senate. And this group of men, this Senate, telling him, the powerful Caesar, how the milk was going to get in the coconut. So he wasn't all about that. He was pitting them against each other to see how they could kill themselves off.
What historical figure in another culture was around at the beginning of the Ottoman Empire?
Well, all of the Moabites.
They go back that far?
Of course, Bob.
Is Babylon part of the Ottoman Empire?
It's the beginning of it. It was the fallout of the separation of Babylon with the fall of Sodom and Gomorrah, which is what set the Ottoman Empire where it is.
Are there any written documents in the New York Public Library that support that point?
Oh, well, now, New York Public Library.
you jumped ahead. You said yes too fast.
You gotta go to Izmir. You gotta go to Ephesus.
You know, the average literate, educated person has a string of images, a chronology. Okay, there was Rome, and then there was the Ottoman Empire, and then there was the British Empire, and then the American Empire. It's interesting. What do you think of this? We get our images destroyed following the juxtapositions that Ion posits.
No, Bob, you gauge your world based on a map that somebody wrote that they hadn't even seen.
Well, maybe there are no maps that are accurate, but
if there are accurate maps, why do they keep making maps? Why can't they just use the accurate maps?
Okay, but Ion, we're using your words as a map to who was synced up at different phases of
okay, and we don't
spans.
Perfectly fine.
Right. So James, you see, isn't that interesting to get your phases of spans altered by Ion's map?
He's a window cleaner. He's cleaning the windows so we can see a little clearer here. That's what he's doing.
Oh, the eyes have it, James.
This mapping is about the outer kingdom, correct?
Yes, and if you learn triangulations, you'll never need a GPS or a map.
So that's the third time Ion's mentioned triangulation. Do you want to get that out here today?
We did already.
Yeah, it was a relationship between the three kingdoms, Carol.
Yeah.
Did anybody get it?
Well, that's up to you.
Bobby, Massachusetts, Ion, I'm grateful for your expertise in the Bible and sharing this knowing. My question is, could I immerse myself in books and electronic media and embrace them as a way out of the dilemma resulting from the creation of the printing press and electronic technology?
Well, Marshall McLuhan says don't do it that way because that's what got you fouled up. But sure, embrace it all. And then, you know, put it in your mouth, and if it tastes good, oh, wait, that's our new diet restrictions, too. Put it in your mouth. If it's delicious and wonderful, chew it up and swallow it. If you put it in your mouth and it tastes organic, spit it out.
The person's asking, could I immerse myself in books and electronic media? And it has a way out of the dilemma resulting from the books and electronic media. So that's a kind of embracing, resisting not evil.
Well, now, here we go, Bob. I want to clean this up now. Sometimes when humans have engagement with us, they notice this great flux of power. So let's read the question this way. Ion, can I embrace my fear of water by drowning myself in it? And we say yes, but it'll be a bubbling experience. Because if you throw yourself in the deep end, you will get over your fear of water. And you will even master swimming and having maintaining your level degree of buoyancy. So I've gotten myself crossways with the way I feel about water. So if I drowned myself, immerse myself in the water, will that take care of it? And we say, absolutely, it will every single time without fail or exception. And then the emails start coming in. You told me to jump in the deep end of the cement pond, and I did, and I like to drown, and I had to call 911, and I want my money checked because I'm going to be on disability because I got a fungus in my lungs from that water. See, I told you I was afraid of the water. So if you use that as your excuse, then yes, you know, it'll be just that. But you can come through that same thing and go, wow, I never knew it was that great. Swimming in the deep end, this is great. I can swim and float and enjoy the coolness of the tactility on my body. I have no resistance in the water. I think this is great. I've been silly for all those years having this problem that I've now considered immersing myself into. And that's that point. So how radical the experience is the same question that you're talking about here. Can I immerse myself in the Android meme and figure out how I got crossways with myself because of the Android meme?
And this question came probably from the poet again. It's from Bobby in Massachusetts, and the reason he uses the name Bobby is indicating the second question. Instead of immersing myself, we're continuing to discuss the insights of McLuhan and Joyce be a quicker way of resolving this dilemma.
Well, neither one of them got it, so we don't know.
That's what he thinks I'm doing, offering that. But discussing my insights might be a quicker way of resolving this issue.
Yeah, Bob's is easy. We can do it in 1 second. He doesn't know and he doesn't care.
And I recommend you study that.
And he recommends you embrace it thoroughly in the deep end. That's right. Good. And just when you figured out something, then you know you hadn't figured out anything. Figured out that you hadn't figured out anything, now you're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
Next, now we can go to the beat. Okay. Hey, Vesto, rock of ages, cleft bar, me. Now we're getting to the good part of the time.
Well, actually, after the Poppy question, there is a question from Vestal.
Well, Rachel, come on, baby. We love you. How's Howard? He's fine.
Yeah, and this is an hour and a half ago. They're coming in at 14 minutes of the first hour. Vestal, location, found a city. Hello, Ion. After listening to your take on the revelation, I can truly say, if I could, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now.
There you go. That's exactly right. And all there at Collinsville and Fort Payne, there at Sand Mountain, where they laid her body down, the angels are rejoicing just as Vestal always has. That's right.
And Solomon wrote, location looking for a temple. Great revelation, Ion. And they say that I am wise. I am dim in your light.
Well, see, that wisdom business is all overrated. Because if you become so wise, all that means is everybody brings their crap to you to figure out. You become the village idiot. Nobody's going to bother you with their crap. So, good. Now, we didn't say stupid. We said village idiot. There's a difference.
Jesse from Bethlehem says, hello, Ion. In your discussion of the first chapter of Revelation, the explanation of who the pronouns refer to was a revelation for me.
Yeah.
Your attention to and focus on the use of upper and lowercase pronouns was insightful. I know that I am timelessly grateful.
There we go.
And then Jesse,
they no longer think that they're miserably lost and undone. Isn't that what Jesus was trying to get you to?
And aren't we trying to do that?
Are we trying to tell them something about it? Yeah. We're just here for the fun. And thanks, everybody, for the fish. And if you do good, if you don't good, it'll all work out because we'll soon be done with troubles and trials. And don't worry about that rock of ages that was clear for you because it'll probably crash right through the middle of your house. So don't fret with it. It'll be all right.
Okay, so she said, Jesse says, my son David sends his regards. Was David in the Bible the son of Jesse?
Yeah.
We heard from Marshall 9 minutes into the show, first hour. Then we heard from Bathsheba, and then James Joyce, then Jerry Falwell, then Moses, then Jehovah, and Solomon, and then Bobby, and Vestal, and Jesse. Okay. Ion, who is this person who's doing this? Is it a watcher, an observer?
No, it's not one, Bob.
It's not one.
Oh, there's more than one people doing this poetry.
More than one people?
Yeah. How many of them? Two? Maybe a team from the same computer zone?
Oh, maybe they're bilocating and it's one that's many.
Did someone get the idea from the original metaphor person and then start filling in their versions?
Of course, and they wax and wane a bit, but let's clear the boards. Come on, let's go.
Okay, so I will move to the next character, King James, Mary's bee, probably means Mary's boy, right? If you've been there. See, they're quoting you, Ion.
Bloody Mary, yes.
Location, Hampton Court Palace. Is that where Mary hung out?
That was her house. Yes.
Okay. Message. The message is, brilliant, Ion. You have unraveled our translation and brought us back, so I think that this is what Mary's saying. No, King James, meaning the Bible. Right, the Bible writer. Brilliant, Ion. You have unraveled our translation, brought us back to the words that were originally written. Now all may understand. God save the Queen.
Rule Britannia, Britannia.
No, listen to this. It just gets even better. So you got King James celebrating Ion clearing up the King James Version of the Bible. Then you got John of Patmos writes in.
Uh-huh.
Location, Isle of Patmos.
An autobiographical.
Yes. Yeah. John from Isle of Patmos says, Ion, I couldn't have said it better. Your words are truly divine and revealing. He that hath an ear, let him hear what Ion said. They're getting very excited. And, Eternity, if that's the I know who that is, if that's the name on our forum, Eternity.
You know if you so, Bob, you're saying you know if you know. So
yeah, you know if you know. Eternity says
we are too.
Yeah, Eternity says, yay, way to go, Ed. And they're thanking Ed of Information Farm for allowing this.
He's very, very cool.
Okay, James, carry on.
All right, so okay, this is from Tucson. Location is Martha's Vineyard. Hi, Ion. Your analysis of the revelation opened up my place of knowing. Could you tell me if the Gospel of Mary and the Gospel of Thomas are authentic?
Yes, they are, but not the version you have. You'll have to go back to the original Maccabees through the Apocrypha to apply those. But we have them, the original Sanskrit versions. I hope your ancient Samaritan Hebrew is pretty good and a bit of Arabic. But we're going to clean that up. Just put it in the suggestion box, dear, and we'll get to it.
Okay. You just said that the original version was Sanskrit.
Yes.
Did the Sanskrit get stuff from the Emerald Tablets?
Yes.
Aha! It goes from Emerald Tablets to Sanskrit.
Aye.
Yes, there's a pattern there. And
a
then
pattern. Oh, bubble.
Are these documents, the more real ones, are they in the Ottoman Empire?
Yes, they are. They absolutely are.
That's why you're always mentioning.
Good.
Yeah, I figured out, Carol. That's why we had this nonsense about the Ottoman Empire for last year. And it's because so much of this background is in their possession, because they were there at the time to get them.
So they're holding on to them, but not making use of them, it seems. So what is the Ottoman Empire doing with these translations and with the head of, whose head have they got?
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist. What are they doing with them?
Looking at it.
Are they after projecting into it and beaming through it and massaging it and masturbating with it?
No. The reason, see, that was what they had issue with the third Jesus. They thought the third Jesus was the reincarnation of John the Baptist, and they had his head on a silver plated, well, actually it's brass platter, sitting in the museum, and they charge people money checks to go look at the head of John the Baptist and the hand of John the Baptist, so it couldn't get out and get back with Jesus.
We brought up the three Jesus. Is the majority of the stories about Jesus by the four Gospelers, is the majority of the stories about any one of the Jesuses, like the third Jesus?
No, they give the story from what they were told about all three Jesuses. But they only limited it to what you call 32 or 33 degrees of engagement. From the years that he was alive, they were trying to get your numerologist all amorous, give the numerologist an erection, which I'm sure it did. And so that's that point.
Yeah, so the third Jesus was the slightly stupider one.
Oh, we don't like stupid. We're not stupid, we're just a little slow.
So the third Jesus was a little slow?
No, not so much. It was just the whole point of the final showing of the differential between power and authority.
He took on authority and got crucified, and the first two were smarter on that point.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get crucified.
So much so that then the very best one they could come up to was the most disconnected of all of them, the fisherman, Peter, and built the Catholic Church on it.
If we look at these imagery and think of the crosses and the crucifixion and take the surface idea that that's the third Jesus, the weaker Jesus, not important, you might get entangled up in a knot and be pissed off at the Church. But actually, we can celebrate these erroneous images over the last 2,000 years because they offered a great means of contrast to give us bliss to compare ourselves to.
Oh, it'll be exciting when they start taking the Vatican vaults and start selling them on eBay.
So that's why nobody is stupid.
Right.
Okay. So I've heard Mary was the most important disciple, says Tucson.
Uh-huh.
Would you agree with that, Ion?
Which Mary?
Okay, so they got to specify which Mary. And Thomas was the main scribe.
He was the main scribe, and he was the doubter. He would be the Bob.
Yeah, that would be the effect of writing. You know, it enhances the neutral effect of the eye. You're writing and looking.
He knew how silly it was, because he's the one writing this stuff. And he's like, guys, do you realize how silly this translates?
And they didn't listen to him.
Dang. You're saying he who ha who da he ha ha. What does he who ha ha who ha 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 regard? Which it? I'm writing this crap down now. Which it are you referring to? Now clean it up. Clean up who, what, when, where, how, and why. We want to know it. We've got to get these degrees of separation. People already aren't going to get this. This is a little new age. Okay, so clean it up. Yep, I'm going to squeeze the lemon on this one just a little bit. I'm doubting Thomas. If we can believe you're the Messiah, if we can come and have your power, and when and all this shall be made manifest and come forth. And if you are of a virgin birth, and if you really come from a family and you're not really a bastard and you're not Christian, so I don't know why we're writing about you, I don't know why the Jews have to take over every good thing, and then why the Jewish, if you're Jewish, isn't good enough to be Jewish, that you now got to be Christian, and when all this is supposed to come back. No, I got what you said, Jesus. Now help my unbelief.
They're calling me Tommy from now on. Tommy Neverett. It's Tuscon. The name is Tuscon. It's not Tucson. It's Tuscon. And right. The location is Martha's Vineyard. Then they say, but then I have no idea which Jesus this would refer to, 1, 2, or 3. Good. They recognize that problem. So Thomas, if Tommy had been at the Council of Nicaea, then they wouldn't have got sidetracked so much.
Sidetracked, they would have never, nothing would have made the canon.
Okay, well, here's an interesting pattern. The oral person makes a big deal out of what's written, but the scribe or writer celebrates the oral. That's the case here. Here's Thomas, he's writing, he's good at writing, he knows the disservice of it, and he's telling these guys, let's not write this down, let's keep it in the oral tradition. And
well,
the oral people.
Mason did, and then those that engage in cunnilingus are that way, too.
Yeah, and then the oral guys, they're into the new writing phenomenon, so they become fanatic about what's written, and that be the establishment built on Peter. So the new written victims are chided by Thomas, who's an expert on writing and knows not to be fooled by it. He knows the medium is the message.
Okay. Or did Marshall say that the message was the medium?
Oh, he includes that. But that's why McLuhan went to Mass every day, so he didn't look like a skeptic, even though he acted like a skeptic.
So how often did they hold anti-Mass? How often did he attend anti-Mass?
That is a good question. Probably he was in anti-Mass form. I use the term anti-environment. He used the Mass as an anti-environment to the present numbness caused by the electric media.
And that numbness is what he used to validate the impression that he was engaging by solidifying of the words presented in the form of not the Protestant version, but the Holy Catholic version of the words that are laid out, that is. Okay? So that's fun. Even though he was all about it, he spent the rest of his days trying to clean it up so that you could actually get it.
That's true.
That's delicious. And that's a great example. So therefore, you could call Marshall Tommy, too.
That's right. He learned how to be right and happy at the same time.
Well, good luck with that.
It can be done. I'm proof of that.
Good luck with that.
Well, I don't need any luck. What are you casting aspersions on my reputation as a solid dualist?
Bob, have you pretended that you have a reputation?
Oh, that's half the
representation that you have.
That's the half that I left out. I left that half out as Bob Neverett. I'm going to move through these fast, James. Gabriel, location cosmos. The rainbow is a covenant promise from God. After the great flood, it was a sign from God he would not destroy the world by water again.
Mm. Well, then the tsunami victims are screwed, aren't they?
Okay, because I think they were just stating some kind of fact here.
They're making the reference when the Nephilim were destroyed on the... There were three floods, and that outcome was then converted into a promise that the last time the world would be destroyed would be by fire. So, there you go.
So the first flood that nailed the Nephilim was the first flood. And then there was two other floods. Who suffered that?
Them Nephilim, they was busy. They kept squirting out other places, so they had to continually have these floods for crowd control, you see.
What was it you just mentioned a minute ago? The fire. Where does it become flood, then become fire?
Well, that's the promise, that you'll see it by a rainbow, and that's the covenant. It will no longer destroy the earth by water. The next time we destroy the earth will be by fire.
Okay. Martha, location, aisle 11. Did Thomas, Gospel of Thomas, did he know the first Jesus?
No, he did not.
He only knew the third Jesus.
No, he knew of the second Jesus a little and then the third Jesus.
He was around during the second Jesus.
But see, he heard about it all, but that's why he was such a doubter. He's kind of like going, you don't even know which Jesus you're talking about. There's eight Jesus running around everywhere. And then, and then someone was Jesus, and then they started calling him Jorge. So is it Jorge or Jesus? Y'all make up your mind. Come on, get this. Which it are you referring to? I ain't having it. I ain't having it. I ain't having it. I'll write it down. I'll listen to you stupid people that were you want me to, but I'm telling you, there's something on foot here, just so you ain't convinced me. Now, Lord, I know I have unbelief, my beliefs. Help my unbelief.
So I'm like Tommy. I'm saying Douglas Copeland and Terrence Gordon, the people who write biographies of McLuhan, you don't know what you're talking about. You didn't even know the first McLuhan. You didn't have any access to him.
Yeah,
same syndrome.
So what you're saying is Ion, I know what I don't know. Help me with what I know.
Is that what I'm saying?
Well, no, it's a good, if you think about it, it might get fun.
The point is, these gospelers lived a long time, a long span.
There is no time, Bob. That's just a real new thing.
Since the printing press, 500 years ago. So you're saying that these guys, they were even maybe, might even be parallel worlders.
Yeah, I was just wondering if the Jesuses were...
Were they watchers?
No.
No.
Not watchers.
Not watchers.
Define watcher.
One who is walks among you, not seen by man, not engaging and changing any of your linear paths that you humans hold to tooth and nail, and add little tits and whittles to gauge and guide you into your place of knowing.
As it's portrayed in the Fringe TV series.
Well, that's always the hard side of it, but yeah, it's a much softer version. It's kind of like in coming into your place where people have to have this interaction, and so they won't have it otherwise. Well, then that's good. You don't care where it comes from, just so here's your sign, so there's your sign.
And the watchers don't answer that.
Correct.
Yeah.
They don't care.
We're finding out why the Bible is a pretty amazing document and nobody got it, because it was written by people who were not your average human being, your average bear. They were parallel worlders or lived
a
long time.
We have such problems with the 10 million translations of it.
World's most confusing document.
You get that, Lenny Bloom and Nelson, all you Bible thumpers who worship under the arm of Herbert W. Armstrong and the Worldwide Church of God and Plain Truth Magazine, you idiots, you stupid people.
No.
Come on. I made you agree with me. There are no stupid people.
Well, congratulations, Bob. You win.
Okay, so Martha continues. Can you talk of Thomas and the finding of his gospel along with the Gospel of Mary in the 1940s?
Showed up then. They snuck it in. It's there. They from the future to the past till now.
Did Thomas plant it there from the future?
Thomas's mother did.
And the Gospel of Mary is part of the Dead Sea Scrolls also?
No, actually that was sort of skirted in.
Who planted that there?
Well, Mary did.
And Martha says, I give permission to Bob to squeeze any lemon that may come up.
Well, bless God, the last person that said that's no longer around, so good luck.
Okay, so Isabel from Spain. Hi, Carol, Bob, and James. Ion, is service to others one of the ways to connect to Source?
Good gracious, no. I'm out of it.
Yeah, and is that the Jesus message?
Yeah, that's what Jesus was saying.
Did the third Jesus say service to others is the way to connect to Source?
Nope.
None of them said that.
None of them said that.
So what was Jesus' message?
Take your own power.
You're the source.
Okay.
Well, he said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Wait a minute, now get to the context. Do unto others as you'd have to do unto them. That's activating love as a force field.
Uh-huh.
If you get control of your inner kingdom, you won't run around on all this other mess and causing all these hurts, because you will bring it into your inner kingdom and go, well, wait a second, I'm going to stick my brother in the eye. Okay, before I do that, let me stick myself in the eye and see how that feels. Well, if I find that it's not a pleasant feeling place, then I may consider, before I bring it into my middle kingdom, poking my brother's eye out with a stick.
Okay, let's go to Green Bra in Georgia. Hi, everyone. Ion, when I was very small, I would wake up in the middle of the night and see a room full of what looked like spirits. They were male, had beards, robes, and sandals, and I could see their aura. Was this the guff or heaven?
No, it was the elders.
Ion brought up the elders in the Revelations Revealed thing we're doing on the Book of Revelation last night. He addressed me personally, and that's been...
Just that. And that's
wow.
Good. Uh-huh. There's your confirmation. That's what that was. That was the elders bowing.
Now, what's interesting is in the book of Revelations, the person on the throne, you or me or anyone, it's usually you image it as an adult. But here the point is that Green Bra in Georgia is the elders came as a little child.
My little child is fresher from source than some of the old codgety ones around you that are bitching and moaning and complaining and grumbling about grumbling. They bitch about bitching.
So if we make a cartoon or some movie of the Book of Revelations, it would be cool to have a little three-year-old in the throne having all these amazing manifestations of the Revelations.
Absolutely. And if you don't have somebody healing them, beating it out of them, they can go through their whole life with it. But no, don't do that. That'll kill you. Don't do that. That'll hurt you. Don't do that. They'll put you in jail. Don't do that. Don't think that. Don't be that way. Society will judge you by what you say. Oh. Can't have this. Can't have that. That's too much. Too much sugar. Sugar will hurt you. Don't drink that. That's suicide. Don't drink that. That'll kill you. Don't do that. That'll hurt you. Don't do that. Stop it. Don't quit. Hurry. Wait. Run, kick. It sounds like a bad game of World Cup.
Right.
Run, kick.
Okay, and so in the Book of Revelations, the hero is sitting on the throne. That throne is not necessarily in heaven. It's not anywhere. It's like, where is that?
No. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. What we have thoroughly developed in this series, and it seems to be voluminous for the amount of flow that it is, but there's just so much packed in every bit of it that there is a great deal of commentary in the flow. That heaven on earth as it is in heaven. That's the point. Non-physical and physical right here. The goal is not to get out of your meat sack. The goal is to recognize your power in the meat sack, and you sit on your throne on earth, and that will be utopia. That is heaven on earth. And the example that they give of the Garden of Eden that you're going toward is that, where the cares of life grow strangely dim. That's how you know you've arrived.
Okay,
that's
so
you know.
So the image of the person on the throne with the elders and the beast bowing to that person, if you image that as heaven wrong, but if you image it as here, but include any images you have in the heaven as being here with the environment of the throne, then that's close. And so you could include the image of the Gulf if you think of that as heaven, but it's not the Gulf, it's not heaven, it's nowhere, or at least it's here in
right.
The physical.
It is here. Guys, remember, Bob, there's no such thing as no such thing.
So when Greenbrow asked, was this the Gulf or heaven, only if you understand them as Gulf in heaven as being here, where she was in the room.
Good, because it was in her room.
Yeah.
When she was a little girl, in her room. So was that somewhere else? No, it was in her room.
But why did Green Bra evoke this experience?
What happens is that as a little girl, she was exposed to her place of power, and that's why she's so in-tuned even today.
How did she evoke it? She hadn't lost it?
She never lost it. That's exactly right. Everybody's acting like, well, Ion, how can we get these words that you're telling us to do? No, well, don't do what we're telling you to do. We're telling you to get back to where you were. It's only trying to get you back to where you were.
Could Greenbrow have done this, raised the point where she's in school and starting to get the disservice of the mass media literacy course program, and so she quickly went to her Godhead to assert herself before she got subservient to the effects of school?
And that's how her contact stays even to this day.
So that was a defensive mood, so to speak, not done in fear, but just done an affirmation myself before I go to school.
And what's fascinating is that it shows up in the in Revelations. It's all laid out. So, Ion, when people read Revelations, can some people be reading it in the way that you've been outlining and detailing for us?
Some have, but it certainly will be help to many that are interested. A lot of folks turn around and they'll say, I having no dogma, no Catholic Bible, I'm not having no religion. Well, Jesus didn't have a religion. He wouldn't have been a member of his own church, granted. And if you read the Revelation the way it's being laid out, it'll become your most favorite text.
McLuhan said the printing press brought in silent reading. Is silent reading as evocative as speaking?
No.
There's a dark age when you get everybody silent reading. Yeah, that's a major physiological amputation, so to speak, of your evoking ability, that you are not saying, you forgot that saying is, creates things, evokes things, so you start thinking it might be an indirect way, a slow way of creating and evoking when you're silent reading.
You could listen to what you actually say rather than what you are silently reading. All of a sudden, it'll sync up that the words of your mouth and the meditations of your heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength. Well, it's referring back to you. It's how you maintain your place of power, not get your power, not find your power, not try to trick somebody so you can have your power. It's so that you can know you already have your power. And that's what the human creators now are engaging. They tearing it up, Bob.
Yeah, because the book is such a puny medium. So you're saying if you're reading silently and you're thinking, you're noticing what you're reading, that might evoke a little bit?
It sets the gauge. It'll lay pipe conduit in the labyrinth of your mind.
But it's slower. It is slower.
It is slower.
That's a big insight. Like, get rid of books. Well,
that's a very big insight.
Now, prayer, what about silent prayer? Prayer is asking. That's not recognizing that the words you say evoke right there. Asking is putting it off and saying, not noticing. Okay, so silent prayer is a slow way, and you say, well, I'm going to keep this to myself and think it and ask it. I understand it's a slow way. I want to go with the slow route. But if I wanted to get what I want, just know I say it and don't do the silent prayer route.
Absolutely. Vestal Goodman, we love Vestal Goodman, and anybody that knew Vestal Goodman, they'd tell you quick that she would quote the scriptures in her prayers and askings, that she would quote the scriptures like she was trying to convince God himself that it applied. She knew the power of words, and she would create in her, she had contrast, she created it, but when she had something come along, she'd speak the word, and the word was. And then the word became a foundation by which she could experience power in her life. She's much more well known for speaking the word to God, praying to God herself, just like she was trying to tell God something.
And she would say it out loud. She'd pray out loud.
You better believe it. You better believe it. She'd tell it right quick. And she didn't care if you liked it or not or offended you or not. It didn't make one little flipping bit of a stitch to her, because she knew that that was the essence of the evoking of the power that she already had.
But Ion, if she was evocative to someone who she thought was outside herself, a paternalistic external God force, then she wasn't in her power.
But she referenced it from the standpoint, if you listen to the songs that were best, it was always about coming into your power. It was always coming into your kingdom. It was always looking for a city where you never die. And if you've not found it yet, you can hear those words, and if that'll soothe you to the place where you could, then that hope realm can activate. It wasn't to get it yourself. It was to lay it out, to show how powerful the words were. And that power that you could know was real is how you tapped into the power that you already had.
So she infiltrated Christian culture, which many people object to because it has this external God thing, which I would agree to that objection. But the thing is, she worked within the Christian culture and was acting out what the Christians didn't know right in front of them.
Exactly. That is exactly correct. That's exactly correct.
But if she knew it was more about her own power, could she have had less contrast? Because what the contrast we're talking about is cancers and everybody in the family dropping dead every year.
Right.
Yeah, she kept pumping out babies and they kept dying.
But anyway, so if she had known her own power as opposed to giving it up to God, could it have been different?
You're calculating that she did that, and we're not saying she did give it up to God. She recognized who God was and lived through it. She lived to bury most of them people, Carolyn.
And she knew that she was God.
Absolutely. Bob, you've talked about everybody else's genitalia on the planet. Bob, you've told everybody else's secrets that's out there. Bob, you've exposed, you've become the whistleblower, or don't blow it if you're the whistleblower. You told everybody all these mystical wonderings and phantasmations that these things are occurring, taking place, and are in your outer kingdom as is. Why don't you tell them now how they can do it too, how they can come into their place of power? Why can't you suggest to them, oh, by the way, everybody, just for the record, Bob's also now quite a prolific Bible scholar.
Oh, yes. Go to HowIonic.com and look in the catalog section. We have incredible tapes and recordings available that supplement what you're hearing on the show. You actually get more from these than you do on the show. Though if you do listen to those recordings and catch up on that, then you get a lot more out of the radio show because you can hear between the lines. But we've done an unbelievable exegesis of the Book of Revelations. It was sparked by Ed suggesting we do it. Now, I personally and Carolyn had done a bit on the Book of Revelations. Ion's been hankering since he showed up to explain the Bible. It didn't interest me at all. Didn't want to do it. I'm not interested in doing the Acts and all the stuff that Ion says is going to be done. You can do it, James. You can go through the Bible with Ion. But as we did with Ed, the Book of Revelations, I realized, no, this requires extra hours, and we're going to charge for this stuff. So what could you say? It's never been heard before, and it clarifies it, and actually brings us right up to today, last night.
The beginning. And if you were confounded and confused by John the Revelator's version of the end times or the beginning times or when time on earth shall be no more, because of Bob's superlative lemon squeezing, not the chapters, but every word of Revelation has been thoroughly and completely now unearthed so that even Bob gets Revelation now. It ought to tell you something, everybody.
Having done every word, there actually aren't that many words, and it's not confusing. You have this blur, and you don't read it, and you don't know how to read it, and you just think, oh, it's a lot of words. Well, there isn't that many words. It's so crystal clear now.
So now you're not surprised. So now it's not anomalous. So now it's like, oh, so that's who the dragon is. So that's what those degrees of separations between the branches of the government. Oh, so that's the geographic location, and explains it in detail. So then you can separate it out if you still want to go with Bob's five bodies to sift it out, put it in these different, it's like sorting laundry. You want to use mini baskets to sort your laundry out, you can do that. Then get to all the whites and wash them, and all the colors and wash them, and all the blue jeans and wash them. And then it makes it much simpler to get through the laundry rather than it piling up on you, and it becomes a hopeless task. And then you have to sit and listen to how everybody else's dreams are consistently coming true and why yours can't.
Virginia and Indiana, you're on live on the air. Go ahead with Ion.
Hi, Bob. Hi, Ion. Hi, James. Hi, Carolyn. How are you?
Great.
Hey, Virginia.
Hey.
You know, Virginia, you are going to be absolutely amazed by the Revelation series because you, I guess, have studied it. You're a pastor. You know that Book of Revelation. When you hear the word-by-word exegesis of those 22 plus one chapter.
I loved the very first one that, Ed put on Information Farm, and the first time I heard it, when Ion, so funny, trying to get you, Bob, to realize that the Book of Revelation goes first, and you read it first, and it's all read backwards, I was like, oh, my God, that is it. That is freaking brilliant. That is. I mean, it started to just fall into place for me, and I'm like, oh, my God, how cool. And, Bob, you're just like, now what?
It was funny.
What was so funny about it was when you said, Ed, you go, oh, well, I've already heard everything. I don't need to hear anymore. I'm good with that. Okay, but we'll do it for the little people. He's like, oh, my God, that's awesome. Bob's a hoot.
Whatever you do, Bob, don't tell them, don't let it out of the sack that the 144,000 has to do with the DNA.
Yeah, wait till you hear that.
Whatever you do, don't let that out.
I I will shut this sucker down when I start hallucinating about this nonsense about the DNA. of course, it is shocking. Everybody's going to think that. What do you mean DNA? What's it got to do with it? But that's what it is. The other thing was the order of the Bible. It's not just written backwards. It is so mixed up that John lived before Moses. It's the basic, printing press linear effect. It's so deep in us that it's shocking to realize, well, see, people have always said, well, you can interpret anything in the Bible. You put your own meanings. And they talk about the content, the sayings, the parables, what they mean. But they never think that the whole order of it was as equally edited and screwed up, rather than just putting your own. They made up the order. And that's literally, isn't that what he said, Carol, last night? That John was before Moses, and Moses was after Jesus?
Well, Bob, the council in Nicaea put it in the best pecking order that they came up with. But if there is no time and you're all eternal, who said what came first? Who said 1 John was first? And why does 1 John come after St. John? And why does 1 and 2 John come pre-John of Patmos? Makes no logical sense. God of Kings and Chronicles give the story in reverse order when it ought to be Kings and then Chronicles, and yet it's Chronicles before Kings. Chronicles speaks more about Kings than Kings does more Chronicles than... And then all you get out of that at the end of the day is Nebuchadnezzar was a bad king.
Ion, was the Council of Nicaea set up to obscure the teachings?
No, darling, they were just smoking ayahuasca.
And they were infatuated with linearity because that was the new novelty of the phonetic alphabet, I guess. I mean,
because of the printing press. Oh, Lord, there's McLuhan again. Uh-oh. Sorry, everybody. Blame non-physical. Blame it on Marshall. That's right.
But there was no printing press back there. I'm just talking about the subliminal effect of the phonetic alphabet and manuscript
world.
Well,
the phonetical alphabet was for people who were illiterate. The Nicene Council couldn't read.
You mean the simplification of the phonetic alphabet was for people who couldn't read ideogrammic writings?
That's why King James had to translate it. So the priest didn't have to tell you what the scripture said, and the hoops and the loops and the dupes and the lops and the lopes and lips. And that means that's no different than the Oracle of Delphi. The oracle told you, but then the priest had to tell you what the oracle was saying.
That's where the indulgences and stuff came from, Bob, because they interpreted the word, and they interpreted it by in Latin, which none of the farmers, none of the common people knew any of that stuff. So they would take what the priest said as quote unquote the word, and then they would bring their money in and stuff like that. And Martin Luther had an earful of it, and so he nailed up the 95 Theses. And when they printed the book in common language and people started reading it, they were like, well, holy crud. Man, this says my faith makes me whole. This says, hey, I got it. I don't need y'all anymore. And that's what started some of that.
The shocking part in chapter 14 is Ion's talking about the triumphant people who get it, in this dramatic time. But then there's those that, the emptying of the cup, and then the mass exodus accompanying or just before the emptying of the cup. There's a section in chapter 14 where one of the angels is telling John how to communicate to those that aren't going to get it. Okay, the ones who are going to commit suicide and be part of the mass exodus. And the first word the angel says to John is right. And I realize you read it, and
wow.
You go, wow, for the stupid people, you write something. Which is incredible. It's right there, the first word, W-R-I-T-E. I assume that is the accurate translation of what the original Ion? Like, what do we do about the people who aren't going to make it and can't get their DNA altered?
Well, that's the thing. You do your tweet and you say, OMG, is there a DNA?
It's just like, well, what about these people who aren't going to make it? Write to them. And he tells them what to write, that everything's okay. We love you anyways. Go suicide yourself, but there's no problem with that. That's cool. We'll see you on your way back.
Writing letters, and then they start writing letters to the churches saying, oh, you're love, you're the standard. You're killing each other. You're fighting each other. You're backbiting. You can't figure it out. You don't know which end is up. Oh, and we love you. We have to give you the grace of our Lord and Savior, and that you, but patience is that virtue, and that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and all that. Then you run that all the way through G.E. Philco, and after he's transitioned him a new one, then he says, and everything's going to be all right. We do tend to say, don't worry, it'll be over soon.
Yeah, you say that too. If you get what it means from Ion, you then see it's almost like a Quentin Tarantino movie script. An angel comes out and he says to John, thrust your sickle down into the earth. And John responds, go, that's right, man, thrust my sickle. And he imitates the gesture and thrusts the sickle. Then the other angel goes right on and thrusts his sickle. They're like, you know, making these gestural movements and responding to each other like in, you know, a panic manner. Yo, yo, man, they high-five themselves. When you read it, you can see the high-five themselves as they get ready to write to the dumb ones.
And now love and joy and peace be to you, my brother. Held on to the bitter end. Words have been made manifest here on the earth. Now quit screwing with your neighbor's wife. About everybody and running your mouth and life and death is in the tongue and it's with power. So quit telling about everybody else's bedroom habits and leave poor Mel Gibson alone and let him have flatulence in peace. And then you run along here and here and here and here and here. Oh, and everything's going to be wonderful because you kept the faith and you fought a good fight. To be rich, those on the souls have gone on before you. Those, they didn't make it either. So don't know what to do. Because they didn't make it, you fight that fight. Oh.
Yeah, at this Council of Nicaea, I wanted to go into it a little bit because I don't understand how, as you say, Ion, a group of illiterate folks decided what should be in the Bible. So can you tell us who was around the table and what happened?
Oh, yeah. See, you started stirring in the Roman Emperor Constantine the First, and then he started electing bishops, Christian bishops. They had to vote to decide if Jesus was indeed the Christ first. Because there was lots of talk about that. Then it becomes an ecumenical council, a voted group, placated to set the pecking order of what would be an opened and a closed canon. There are many other books that were up for vote, but they didn't get an Academy Award. And because they didn't get their Emmy, then they didn't make the Holy Scriptures because of this group that were voting. Now, granted, in this bishopdom, you had many, many translations of the books that were being brought forth that were set to make the at bar what was going to be included and what was not. And most of those translations, they weren't privy to read, understand. So it became a political play to set the Holy Scripture.
Okay, Ion, the Constantine is in the normal history, 330 A.D., around then. You say the Council of Nicaea happened in 70 A.D., so you're saying Constantine lived a few years after Jesus, the third Jesus?
There's no years, Constantine the First.
Most people, when they hear Ion say that the Nicene editing of the books happened in 70, around 70 A.D., they go, no, that's 325 A.D. Well, for the first time, you've mentioned Constantine the First, and he, if I understand it, is 325 A.D. So what's the contradiction here?
Because they're dealing with the Arians. The reason that they had the Council of Nicaea and the Nicene Creed was they were trying to combat Arius. Was a heresy name for Arian, which was way before 325. It's A.D., B.C., D.D.
Okay, no. You're saying that the Nicene Council organized it a few years, like 30 years after Jesus passed, the third Jesus. Are you changing that now?
No. It was an ongoing thing. We just don't do the time thing that you do.
It's an ongoing editing?
No, Bob. Well, yeah, if you're going to do all the different verbs.
Okay, now, okay, I got you.
Yeah, but that's the wrong rabbit hole.
No, it's not clear what you're saying here.
You're saying that there's no time, and every time you try to pin it to time, you find yourself woefully inadequate. So we're not embracing the time. Call it what you want.
So you say don't even read the Bible. It's a product of time.
No, we didn't say that. We said read it as it's written, get it straightened out and right, use it for what's being said for those human individual creators who've come into their place of power. And if that helps you validate and vindicate your place of power, just like Jesus said, if you don't know how to pray, pray this way.
How many Constantines were there, Ion?
Four.
But he said Constantine the First. Look, Ion.
There were four of those.
There were four of what? Constantine one?
Yeah, there you go, Bob. It's all about the duplicates.
Yeah, are you following this, Virginia?
I think the thing of it is that you don't have to really go to Constantine or the Council of Nicaea, because if you go to today's Protestant churches, or you go to the Southern Baptist Conference, or you go to the Missouri Synod of the Lutheran Church, the same behavior is being acted out every single day, including in Rome. The leaders of the church decide how the word is to be interpreted and what it means. And they choose what they're going to teach and how they're going to teach it. And they choose what it means for the people that they're, quote unquote, serving. And you're not allowed to stand up and challenge religious authority. It doesn't matter. So you don't have to go to all the way back then. You can stand up and do it right now in the middle of America, because the behavior is still going on. I think what Ion is saying is any religious text, take that. Take whatever you want to take. If it empowers you and inspires you, then use it to find your own Godhead, your own deity within. But when it confuses you and conflicts you because they're using their authority as being supreme over your own internal knowing and power, that's when it turns into a problem. And that's happening all day, every day, right now. You don't have to go way back then, because they do it today.
Carol right. was asking in the break, who were these people? And are you saying, Ion, that they started haggling over the story of Jesus a few moons after he was crucified?
It didn't even get resurrected before they were starting Senate subcommittee.
Okay, so you're saying the arguing over what it meant started real quickly, and it went on for many, many months, many millions of full moons, always going on, like Virginia's saying.
But, going on.
Yeah, but even it says that in the scriptures. If you look at the testimony of Jesus as it's written in the four Gospels, Jesus even said to Peter, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, and some say you're Elijah, and some say you're just a freak in hell. We don't know, but it's cool hanging out with you, and neat stuff happens, so we're just going to keep going. But they didn't know who he was either. The thing of it is it's a Christed consciousness. It's a Christed energy. It's a Christed expression of frequency, a level of awareness. It's not necessarily like, and that's why Jesus was saying to Peter, and then, of course, like, you know, Ion says, then they go and build the whole church on Peter, who was the most disconnected one.
Okay.
He's like, well, heck.
Well, not to do.
Right.
And then they make the entire Catholic Church based on him.
Okay, thanks a lot, Virginia. Very good.
Right.
Actually, you know, what you could do is ask Virginia if she wants to do the revelations with you, because I'm no help. I just sit there and...
Carol's just stunned at my acumen and what
I'm... No, I'm stunned that Bob can go on and on and on.
Oh, honey, but there's not a pit of that lemonade been thoroughly go through. When it takes 5 hours to do two or three chapters, you know it's thorough.
Yes.
But the one thing you can't say about it, it is not thorough.